Everyone needs a pastor. A visit to the pastor's study brings biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you and pastoral ministry from those with proven experience in Christian service. Our time together will be lively, sometimes controversial, always useful, and never dull. Welcome to the study of Pastor Bill Shishko.
Pastor Bill Shishko here with you. And it's great to have you with us for today's visit to the pastor's study. Well, it was nothing less than a revolution. In 1970, Dr. J. Adams, a professor of practical theology at Westminster Theological Seminary, just outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, published his first of what would become over 100 books, Competent to Counsel. Well, that book was nothing less than a revolution in the field of counseling. Prior to the publication of Competent to Counsel, even most Christians regarded treating many personal problems as the responsibility of professional therapists, most of whom assumed the current mental health professionals as the standard for, well, professional treatment. J. Adams, who received his doctoral degree in the field of abnormal psychology, studying under some of the leading secular psychologists of his day, challenged all of this. The scriptures, not ever-changing secular psychological theories, are to be our final authority in all matters pertaining to both faith and life. Secular psychology itself was a competing faith, and its approach to dealing with life's problems was neither satisfactory nor effective in truly helping people in their inmost selves. Not mental illness, but sin was the root of all the problems faced by men and women, boys and girls, and the only remedy for sin is the gospel, the person and work of Christ, received and lived out of by faith and repentance. And the church should not abandon its work of counseling to secular professionals. Christians led by trained pastors were competent to counsel according to the Word of God. Well, from then until today, the discussion and sometimes heated debate between integrationists, those who begin with the findings of secular psychology and then integrate these into more or less biblical categories for dealing with human problems, and anti-integrationists, those who begin their approach to the field of counseling by assuming well-developed biblical concepts of creation, humanity, sin, redemption, and the dynamics of true change, continues in periodicals and seminars, conferences, and lots of private discussions. Well, the approach to counseling that you'll find in the churches represented in a visit to the pastor's study would clearly be in the anti-integrationist school, or what is now commonly called biblical counseling, although J. Adams popularized the term nouthetic counseling, which is based on a Greek word that means essentially to train the mind, heart, and will by speaking to the ear. And this biblical counseling model has developed over the nearly half a century since Competent to Counsel was published. The current generation of biblical counselors is led by people like Dr. David Paulison and Dr. Ed Welch and Paul David Tripp, and an organization called CCEF, the Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation. And I hasten to add that there are many other organizations that promote biblical counseling and also assist in training biblical counselors. CCEF, though, has led the way in this rapidly growing field of study and service. And while CCEF and others still hold the essential ideas put forth very powerfully by Dr. J. Adams, well, there has been development over the years. While sin is still regarded very correctly as the root of humankind's problems, more attention is being given to suffering and to empathizing with those who, in so many ways, experience the painful and destructive fallout from sin. And while human behavior is addressed, well, there's much more focus on the human heart and its motivations. Idolatry and the human heart's attraction to idols is explored and unmasked. Human change is far more than putting off one pattern of life and putting on another. It is, above all else, having a superior love for God that powerfully, over time, expels all lesser loves. The gospel is seen as the most important factor in all counseling. People really must have honest dealings with Jesus Christ as he is displayed and freely offered throughout Holy Scripture. The one who turns from sin and self to Christ and his righteousness and is thereby joined to him by true faith becomes an adopted child of the living God. Now, living out of that status as an adopted child of the Father in heaven literally brings a massive change in the way people view their obedience to God. And the biblical counselor is not seen so much as a professional, but as a fellow sinner who knows the grace of God in Christ and from that experience ministers to others. Now, I can attest from my personal pastoral experience and nearly four decades of doing biblical counseling that this biblical model really, really works. It's the kind of counseling that you should be familiar with as a Christian, and it's the kind of counseling you need when you deal with the life-besetting problems that are so very common in our fallen world and in our eroding culture. Today, on A Visit to the Pastor's Study, we're going to just open the door a crack as we look into this vast house of biblical counseling. Now, I assure you, we're just going to open a little crack, but we'll begin to see a lot. Now, this is a call-in program, and our live call-in number is 631-955-5400. Once again, that's 631-955-5400. I know you're going to want to enter into the discussion today, but let's begin with the biblical counselor who's in the studio with me today. My guest for this visit to the pastor's study is Reverend John Mallon, an ordained minister in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and a full-time Christian counselor whose practice extends to many places but originates in South Central Pennsylvania, where Pastor John lives. He's been in the biblical counseling world right from its earliest years, and today he'll just introduce the topic, biblical counseling today. Pastor John, welcome to A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Thank you, Pastor Bill. It's good to be here.
Great to have you with us. Let's get right into this. How did you go from your years of pastoral work to full-time work as a Christian counselor?
Well, actually, that's a matter of God's providence. He provided. I was leaving a pastoral charge, pastoring a congregation, and I did not have a call to another church. So I was looking for, what am I going to do? And a friend of the family was a...
Now, of course, you had done pastoral counseling.
That's right. Actually, I got into the pastorate sort of because of my having done biblical counseling prior to going to seminary.
Okay.
So, however, a friend of the family was a physician, and he and his partners invited me to join them in their practice doing biblical counseling. So, I went what I expected to be a temporary sort of a thing is now 16 years old.
And it's interesting
that 26 years old.
Wow. Well, you were working, won't deal with this now, but you were working with a physician or physicians, correct?
I was working with physicians, all of whom were Christians. And so it was a good opportunity.
Hopefully we'll get to draw that out a little bit.
All right.
You studied at Westminster Theological Seminary in the early years of the so-called biblical counseling movement led by Jay Adams. Is that right?
That's correct. By the time I got to seminary, Dr. Adams was no longer teaching full-time at the seminary, but I had been introduced to his work before I went to seminary through his books and the pastor of the congregation that I was a member of before I went to seminary.
All right, talk a little bit, Pastor John. What changes have you seen? What developments have you seen in the biblical counseling movement over these decades?
Well, I think you summarized them actually rather well when you noted the increased attention given to suffering and empathizing with those who experience the painful and destructive fallout from sin, as I think the way you put it. And that I think that's a pretty remarkable change. Biblical counselors today, perhaps I should just speak for myself, but the tendency is to see more the effects of the fall rather than simply in you and your sin, but the overall effects of Adam's sin. So,
and you're not talking about J. Adams here.
I'm not talking about J. Exactly right.
Yeah, the first Adam. That's
the
right,
first
yeah.
Adam.
Okay.
That's exactly right. So that part of the curse of the fall is that now everything is affected, even to the subatomic level. So everything in our environment, everything about us, it's not just a matter of we sin, although, of course, we do, but we're affected by things. So that involves things like medicine, my circumstances, the other sinners that I have to live with, all of the things in our circumstances, our situation, our environment, mm-hmm. everything is affected by that.
We had, back when I was in seminary, a little bit before you, one of the things that was discussed at school, we had men that had come back from fighting in the Vietnam War, and they had seen, in some cases, to be very graphic, they had seen their buddies just blown up in front of their faces. And that brought about the term we used was fallout, what we would call today post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Right.
And for those of us who studied in the Dr. J. Adams School, we wondered what place there was for this. And I think you're right. I think that there's been more of an emphasis on those things. But develop that a bit more about the development in biblical counseling.
At this point, biblical counselors would address how do you interact with those things in your circumstances in a way that is faithful. So, practically speaking, how do I trust Christ in the midst of a miserable, fallen, evil age? If it's the trauma of war, or the trauma of a horrific auto accident, or something like that.
The trauma of a divorce, or
the trauma of a divorce.
Right.
That's right. You know, actually, there's lots of trauma, to use the word broadly, in all of our lives. So how do we react to that? How do we respond to that? Is it out of faith or not? So at that point, the biblical counselor is going to try to help the counselee to do that.
Now, what about, Pastor John, the dynamics of change? What is it that motivates? Obviously, we're dealing with a person who's turned to Christ, but now we're talking about that daily change. Technical word would be sanctification. We just talk about change. What are the dynamics of that change?
Well, the dynamics of that, as I would see it, as biblical counselors today see it, would be not merely a matter of what you do, but a matter of your motives, your motivation. What drives you? What drives you to do particular things? Those behaviors that signal, hey, there's something wrong here. Yeah. This is not biblical. This is not right. So
talk about some of those motivations.
Some of those motivations would be, ultimately, we're talking about, what do you worship? And I would say, what do you fear? Okay. What do you desire? Every one of us as sinners is seeking to build their own little kingdom. We each want to be God. Not over the whole universe, of course, right? There are very few people who want to do that. But we all want to be God in our own little corner of the world.
Yeah, which, of course, is the effect of the fall of our first parents.
Exactly.
You shall be as gods, and that works itself out in control, right? We want to control things.
Exactly right. Yeah. So the dynamic that you see in Genesis 3, the account of Adam being tempted, Adam and Eve being tempted and falling, that dynamic is really at work in all of us.
Okay, so control. So what would be the godly motivation then?
Well, the godly motivation is going to be to worship God, or to put it a little bit more particularly, to fear God and to desire God, rather than to fear anything else.
Well, now, when you say fear God, because people can immediately have different understandings of what we mean by it. What do you mean by that when you talk about fearing God?
Well, fear, when we usually think about fear, we think of the object of our fear being something that has power in our lives that we want to avoid. Godly fear is recognizing God's power in our lives, and instead of being driven away from Him, being driven to Him. That's really, I would say, the paradigm, that's the pattern for real fear, and the fear that we're most familiar with is really a distortion.
Now, how does that play out, though, if you're dealing with a non-Christian and a Christian? A non-Christian ought to fear God in the sense of, God is speaking to Adam and Eve, and they try to cover themselves. Unbelievers will do this. What's the difference between that and what a believer will do?
Well, as I say, the difference is that with the unbeliever, he's driven away from God as he's being driven away from whatever else that he fears. Whereas for the Christian, for the believer, he's driven to God in faith. In either case, there's faith involved.
Okay.
Faith in that thing that I'm afraid of, as we usually think of it,
right.
Or faith in Christ, who is able to preserve and protect me, indeed, defend me.
Yeah, and who, of course, makes us, in himself, as the Son of God, makes us children of God. It's like the dynamic of a respectful child to his father, correct?
Exactly.
You don't want to offend your father.
That's right.
You may not like the discipline of your father, but you know your father loves you, and so you inevitably go back to that father. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Because as well as fearing your father, you also desire your father.
Okay. Sure. That's great. Great.
So those two things go together.
Now, before our little break that comes up, when you think of biblical counseling, what are some of the biggest differences between that and secular counseling? And really, does it make a whole lot of difference?
I would say it makes a world of difference. It makes a world of difference because...
Okay. Flesh that out a bit.
Yeah. The secular counselor has as his foundation really any assortment of worldly assumptions, worldly beliefs, and objectives. So in secular counseling, ultimately, it's all about me. It's all about the self. What can I do to serve me? How can I feel better? How can I do better, etc.? Whereas in biblical counseling, it's not all about me, it's all about God. And those two different foundations then control everything else that follows.
Well, you're talking about two totally different worlds. And of course, the secular view, there's no way you can deal with the issue of sin and
that's
forgiveness
right.
and acceptance with God, correct?
That's exactly right. From the worldly view, effectively, although sin might be given lip service, it's really denied. A biblical doctrine of sin is really denied.
My guest today, Pastor John Mallon. Pastor John, and it's Mallin. When you give your contact information, I don't want them spelling it melon. Okay, it's Mallin. And we're talking about biblical counseling. I know you've got questions, and this is a telephone talk program. We'll get to your phone calls after. Phone number 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400. We'll get to your calls after this message from the voice of a pastor. Visit to the pastor's study.
that great city, New York. Metropolitan New York is the largest city in the United States. And with a population of over 20 million people, Metro New York is one of the largest cities in the world. And what's more, Metro New York is home to people from every nation of the world. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. But churches faithful to historic Reformation Christianity in the Metro New York area are few and far between. The mission fields of Metro New York are America's richest and most neglected. Reformation Metro New York is an agency by which the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is planting and developing biblically faithful churches and church ministries in the Metro New York area. Through Reformation Metro New York, you can help promote the outreach of this program, A Visit to the Pastor Study, and other projects designed to further the ongoing reformation of the church. That and church planting are the great passions of Reformation Metro New York. For more information, check out the website at reformationmetrony.org, where you'll get a personal look at the ministries of the churches, pastors, evangelists, and teachers of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in the area, and you'll learn how you can be a part of our labors. We need your help. Here's the site again, reformationmetrony.org. Thanks for your interest and your help. Remember that great city, New York. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. Now back to today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Pastor Bill Shishko here with you today. We're dealing with the subject of biblical counseling today. My guest, dear friend, brother, fellow minister, Pastor John Malland. And we're very thankful to be simulcast on Redeemer Broadcasting Network. And I would assume that since Arthur in the Hudson Valley is in the Hudson Valley, he's a Redeemer listener. Arthur, welcome to A Visit to the Pastor's Study. What's on your mind today?
Hey, good afternoon, Pastor Bill and Pastor John. Thank you for taking my call. This is a subject that's really tender to my heart, and I'm kind of perplexed about some aspects that maybe I'm hoping that you can shed some light on. I'm a long time wondering on both sides of the spectrum whether counseling from the Scripture or being counseled in the Scripture, and I think we definitely see a mandate for the biblical counseling, because especially the epistles themselves are counsel, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So I'm saying to myself, you know, there's an aspect that it seems as though oftentimes there's nothing you can say to someone that's going to turn their heart. And there seems to be an element there where people are seeking for the existential. So, for instance, it drives people into places like Pentecostal circles, for instance, where it's like, you know, you'll hear people say, you know, I've read the Bible, and I know that, et cetera, et cetera. But I still walk in this element of bondage or this element of vexation in my life. And I don't understand that. And I'm looking for a move of God, or I'm looking for something supernatural to happen. I've heard the counsel, and I've read the Scripture, and I know it. But I need something supernatural. And so there's got to be a place where prayer or something, you know, supernatural kicks in. Yeah. And there seems to be a gap or a disconnect or a distance between the two. Maybe you can help me understand that gray area.
Arthur, that's a tremendous question. Pastor John, you could go the rest of the program dealing with that one. But why don't you just maybe fly over the terrain a bit in answering this great question, Arthur.
Yeah, that's right. It really is a great question. And you're striking at something that is fundamental. Biblical counselors, to begin with, are not relying on their skills. They're not relying on their abilities to be persuasive and so on and so forth, but rather they're depending upon God to work. And if God doesn't work in the way that we want him to, that's his business, not ours, right?
Right.
And so while from the point of view of the counselee, they're looking to the counselor to be of help to them. The counselor must be pointing that person to Christ. He must be encouraging them to trust Christ, to rest in Christ, to look to Him in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. So I sleep at night because the problems of the folks that I counsel are not my problems. They're God's problem. I hope you understand what I mean by that. In other words, their world does not rest on my shoulders. It rests on God's shoulders. So at that point, the counselor and the counselee both must be praying. They must be searching out the scriptures to see what's called for from them. Your description of the person who's, you didn't use this word, but the person who's stuck. Oh, they want help, but they don't seem to get any movement. That's actually reminiscent. It reminds me of folks that I have counseled who are wrestling with addictions, what would be generally called addictions. Mm-hmm. That is to say, there are practices, there are things that they're doing that they have become so not only accustomed to, but dependent on, that they want to be free, but they just don't seem to be able to break free. And so the counselor at that point has to present biblical alternatives. One of the things that has developed in biblical counseling over the past 20 or 30 years is looking at what motivates someone in their behavior. As Pastor Bill mentioned in his introductory comments, that's one of the changes, is a focus on the heart and thinking in terms of idolatry. So so the person who's looking to change from sinful behavior to godly behavior must be examining, why do they do that sinful behavior to begin with? What are they trying to guard? I mentioned, we all have our own little kingdoms. Well, those behaviors are seeking to either grow those kingdoms or protect those kingdoms, fears and desires. And so the biblical counselor will be seeking to help the person see those things in his or her own life.
Now, Arthur, how are we doing? Is this helping you with your request, question?
This is excellent. As a matter of fact, one of the things that really spoke to me was when Pastor John said early in the program how we all want to be God in some realm or sphere of our lives. We want a desired outcome, and we want to make that happen. However that translates, and I can attest to that. There are areas of my life where I want to be God, and
Arthur, that's not just you. That's all of us.
That's right.
Our first parents' fall, the effect of it is to all of us. That's why we have conflict in the world, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I would say, Arthur, that you're recognizing those areas in your life is really a mark of faith.
Is that helpful?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Very helpful.
Thanks so much, Arthur, for your call, for the visit to the pastor's study. Appreciate that. And we're dealing today with biblical counseling today. And my guest is Pastor John Mallon, phone number 631-955-5400. I guess this is as good a time as any to just take a few moments to tell you about the program you're listening to, A Visit to the Pastor's Study. This is a ministry of the Orthodox Presbyterian Churches in metropolitan New York and southern Connecticut. And those churches are in Hamden, Connecticut, Mount Vernon, New York, Fresh Meadows, Queens, and here on Long Island, Franklin Square, Syosset, and Bohemia. And you can learn more about the program and other things that we're about, www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. You'll find lots of information about the program and about the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Also, you can look up Visit the Pastor's Study on Facebook, and we really appreciate it if you like us on Facebook. Hopefully you won't say you don't like us. I hope you like the program and finding it helpful. And the broadcast work itself comes to you from Reformation Metro New York Incorporated. This is a not-for-profit corporation that not only produces this program, but has a number of other projects on the drawing boards to help pastors and to help lay people as well with having a biblically formed view of the church and service in the church and things like biblical counseling. So we'd love to have you as part of the special. And we want to emphasize this as a church-focused project. And for more information, Reformation Metro New York Incorporated, Reformation Metro New York Incorporated, or you can just do RMNY Incorporated, Easy Post Office Box 234, P.O. Box 234, Franklin Square, New York, 11010. And again, that's Franklin Square, two words, Franklin Square, New York, 11010, the zip code. And if you'd like to contact me personally, well, that's as easy as an email. You can email me at, here it is again, visitpastorbill@gmail.com. All one word, visitpastorbill@gmail.com. I enjoy your emails and appreciate having pastoral interaction with you. Right now, you can reach a Visit to the Pastor's Study by calling 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400. Topic today, fascinating topic, vast topic, biblical counseling today, and our guest pastor, Pastor John Mallon. Pastor John, we've got so many things to discuss. Talk to us about some of the most common counseling issues that you meet from week to week or from day to day, and tell us how you approach those as a biblical counselor.
Well, actually, that it varies. Over the course of my time doing this full time, I've seen sometimes it's marital counseling. Sometimes it's things like addictions and that sort of thing. Sometimes it's anxiety. Right now, actually.
Just sometimes it's anxiety in our anxious culture?
You know, surprisingly, it is. Sometimes it's more a matter of people come in with depression. Sometimes it's other relational things, maybe work issues. So I've seen all of those, and interestingly, I'll have maybe 6 months or a year where I'm seeing a lot of one thing, and then not so much. It's more of one of the others of those.
Talk with us a little bit about depression. I mean, that's a common thing. And I'd mentioned, because you work with medical professionals as well, talk with us about how you weave in your work as a biblical counselor with the work of medical professionals in something like depression.
Okay. Well, to be clear, I'm not working with medical professionals now. That's what first got me into this.
All right.
I am now independent. I don't work for physicians. I do have interaction with physicians with some frequency, particularly with depression. I'm not a physician. I don't have medical training, so I don't give advice about medication. I do frequently suggest to people they should talk with their physician if they're profoundly depressed.
And define what you mean by profoundly, or maybe describe what you mean by profoundly depressed.
Yeah, what I mean by that is when people are having difficulty functioning, when they're having difficulty doing day-to-day tasks, or they're having difficulty thinking clearly, they're not just sad, they're deeply sad. The world is falling around me, that kind of thing. when it's apparent to folks around them that they're depressed. That's profound depression.
And you do not have a problem then in a situation like that with saying, speak with your medical professional, you may want to consider a mild antidepressant? Will you go that far?
I would. I don't have a problem with that. Sometimes.
Because, am I right there? I mean, there are some biblical counselors who do. Am I right?
You're correct. There are some folks who folks who would refer to themselves as biblical counselors or nuthetic counselors who would be very reluctant to make use of medications or even not just reluctant but say, yeah, you don't need that. I would say if you think about the comment that I made earlier about the fall affecting us even at the subatomic level, that means that neurologically you're not working the way originally we were designed to work. That's true for all of us. Now, we don't all need medication, but it's possible for things to be so gone awry, so gone wrong, that we need help. So if you broke your leg, you wouldn't just buck up and walk on your leg anyway. You'd go to the doctor. You'd have that set. You'd
have a crutch.
You'd have a crutch,
yeah.
And you'd probably be taking some pain medication for a little while, so that you could function.
Yeah.
The same thing is true with someone who's profoundly depressed. It may be necessary for medication so that they can even hear what you're saying as you're presenting.
Well, that was my experience as well as a pastor. I usually use the word clinically depressed. I could not reach people with biblical counsel.
That's right.
They had to have some kind of a treatment, whether it was with lithium or some kind of medication, usually for a couple of weeks or so, before I could finally just talk with them. And I think that's where I began to think through that whole issue. And I too, have used that analogy of a crutch. You don't want to have to walk with a crutch. Sometimes you have to get by. We have Craig from Craig. I hope I'm pronouncing it properly. Moriarty, New Mexico. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, boy. The only Moriarty I ever know of is in Sherlock Holmes, his great nemesis. But I'm glad to know about Moriarty, New Mexico. Craig, welcome to A Visit to the Pastor's Study. What's on your mind today?
Well, I appreciate your folks addressing this topic, and I appreciate Pastor John's openness to using medication, certainly when one's brain chemistry is messed up because of a sinful emotional response to one's circumstances. Medication to straighten out that brain chemistry imbalance is really what's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate him being open up to that kind of thing.
Good. Now, did you have a question, Craig, or just wanted to make that comment?
Well, I have. My wife listens to a radio program from some Christian counselors called New Life, and they answer questions over the air. And certainly don't have much time to do it. I was wondering, what does a session with a biblical counselor look like?
Oh, that's a great question, Craig. Believe it or not, Craig, that was one of the ones I'd written down in my own notes. I'm glad you got to it before I did. So, Pastor John, what's it like?
Yeah, good. That is a good question. To begin with, a session with me, at least, would not be 5 minutes, which is what you would probably be getting on a radio program. To begin with, we begin with prayer, asking that God would help, that he would give us wisdom and insight and enable us to hear him in his word, and encourage us in our faith. Then, especially in the first session, I ask the counselee, what's going on? Tell me about yourself. Tell me what brings you here, and so on. And then I'm seeking to listen to them from a biblical perspective. So my thinking biblically from the very get-go hopefully is going to be controlling what I do, how I listen, not just what advice I give, but how do I understand what's called for. So I'm going to be listening. I'm doing a lot of listening. And before we're done, hopefully at the end of the typically an hour long session, I'm going to be seeking to address the scriptures to what it is that you have told me. I'm going to be seeking to apply the gospel to that. I'm going to hopefully be giving you a better understanding of what you've told me. So I'm going to hopefully give some direction and some hope, because I'm holding out the gospel. I'm holding out the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does he have to do with what is it that you're facing?
Excellent. How's that, Craig? Helpful?
Yes, indeed.
Thank you so much for your call today, Craig. Appreciate it. Craig from Moriarty, New Mexico. To follow up a little bit on that, Pastor John, do you have things that you can deal with in just one session, or do you normally have multiple sessions with people, if there is a normally in your field?
Yeah, there really is not a normally, but in a sense, what I'm dealing with is what's not normal. That's sort of the point. Occasionally, I will just be able to deal with things in one session. Typically, that would be in a case where someone has a very specific, narrow question. And, you know, I tell folks that we operate not on my agenda, or really even on their agenda, but God's agenda. But God's agenda is going to be more apparent to them than it is to me.
Yeah.
So I don't have a standard set of things that I'm going to do no matter what with this counselee, but rather I'm going to be governed somewhat by their objectives. What have they come for? So suppose someone comes to me with a specific question, what should I do in this specific situation? I'm having trouble with my boss. I want to ask for a raise, but he doesn't seem to be open to it. What should I do?
Yeah, okay, so
that's probably going to be a one-hour session.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Of course, it's wonderful. Just the fact that people have God's perspective, not from Pastor John, but from the Word of God, is opened up by Minister Pastor John. What a glorious privilege that is. And that point about prayer, I mean, almost every time I would begin a session, I would always begin by thanking the Lord Jesus that he's the wonderful counselor. I can bring what the Word of God says, but I can't do wonders the way he does.
That's
and
right.
We're talking about, probably apropos of Arthur's question, the Lord Jesus has to do that wonderful work. When we get back after this message from the Voice of the Pastor's Study, talk with us a little bit about people that want to learn more about biblical counseling. But we'll be back after this message.
To listen to pastors on the radio or to watch them on television, everyone needs a biblically faithful pastor, and everyone needs a biblically faithful church. A Visit to the Pastor's Study is a ministry of the Orthodox Presbyterian Churches in the metropolitan New York area. We're no substitute for a faithful pastor in a local church, but we are a supplement. Visit our website, www.visitthepastorsstudy.org, and you'll find the ministry of this program extended right to your electronic device. Here you'll find archives of past programs, a weekly message from Pastor Bill's Pastor's Post, helps for pastors, helps for congregation members, material for officer training, and much more. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. And we also invite you to contact the host of this program, Pastor Bill Shishko. You can email him at visitpastorbill@gmail.com. He'd love to hear from you so that he can bring his pastoral ministry to you personally. That's visitpastorbill@gmail.com. Remember, everyone needs a pastor. And now back to today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Topic today on A Visit to the Pastor's Study, biblical counseling today. Phone number 631-955-5400. My guest, Pastor John Mallon, on biblical counseling. At the break, you were talking just a reflection on our previous caller. That I think that would be interesting to people to develop that a bit.
Yeah, he did refer to brain chemistry being affected by sin, and I'm not sure whether he was referring to the sin of Adam, that is the fall, or whether he was referring to brain chemistry being affected by your own sin. And I would say that either of those is possible. Of course, I would say that for all of us, our brain chemistry, our neuro network, okay, you know, the pathways and so on, all of that is affected by Adam's sin, by the fall. In that case, everybody's got that to deal with. But it's also possible for someone to be affected, chemical imbalance, etc., by their sin, their behavior, etc., just as it is possible for them to be, for that chemical imbalance to be, in a sense, the first thing in the order that then affects thinking and so on.
Well, yeah, I mean, David himself talked about how his bones grew old through his groaning all the day. Clearly, there was that will be neurosystem, but clearly there was that bodily effect because he was dealing with guilt.
Right.
And I always find it fascinating to read these studies that show that when people have happiness in marriage, there's good communication, there's forgiveness, and so on, people will live longer. I mean, so yeah. Well, as time is winding, we knew we were just going to scratch the surface. That's why I said a little crack in the door.
Yes.
Okay, talk with our listeners. Let's say they want to study biblical counseling. What do you recommend?
Okay, well, I'm going to focus first on your word study. I would say they want to study theology, and by that I mean theology in the broad sense. So not only the doctrine of God, the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of man, who we are, that's really important in counseling.
And the doctrine of creation.
And the doctrine of creation, the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of the church. All of these are relevant. So study theology. Become
and good theology.
Good theology. Become
right.
That's exactly right. you want to become a master of the scriptures, not just knowing chapter and verse, but how do the scriptures work together? How do they hang together? What's the teaching of all of scripture, bringing the whole counsel of God to bear on what you want to do in counseling? Secondly, I think the aspiring counselor needs to study people.
No. Which is one of the great privileges of the pastorate, incidentally.
That's right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
But obviously that means interacting with people. At least that should be obvious. It means you talk with folks, but it can also be done by I would recommend reading good fiction. Good fiction, especially historical fiction, I would say, is going to open up. How do people think? What makes them tick? If it's good fiction, it will do that. Also, a good autobiography would do the same sort of thing. So broaden your reading horizon.
Right? Your point about fiction, I've often thought, although sadly the cynicism of the man's life at the end didn't help, and he was not a believer, but Mark Twain had such profound, memorable insights into humanity, and this from one who was not himself a believer in Christ.
Well, that's right. And of course, if you're going to do counseling, you're not just looking for godly ways of thinking. You want to understand the ungodly ways of thinking. So you're not just going to read Christian writers. You're going to read writers who, by their own experience, are very familiar with how do we think.
Yeah, the study of human beings, when Paul says we write not on epistles of stone, but what on the tablets of the human heart. And I've often thought that for ministers in particular, that's the second series of books we study. We don't have a lot of time left. And more immediately dealing with Christian counseling, if you had one or two books that you would want to recommend at the outset, what would they be?
I would say, I'll give you more than one or two books in one fell swoop. Anything by Ed Welch.
All right.
And the reason I say that is because in each of Ed Welch's books, he really applies the gospel in a counseling way to a particular thing. But it's the same approach. And you see that worked out. If you read a couple of his books, you start to get a feel for it. Because, really, as I said, I was focusing on study before.
Sure.
Really, counseling, the ability to do counseling is more caught than taught.
Than taught, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ed Welch's book, for those of you who are struggling with depression, his book, Depression, A Stubborn Darkness,
right,
is, I found, very, very helpful. Now, just about a minute or so left, Pastor John. People want to contact you, your contact information?
They could contact me by email at John W. Mallon, that's J-O-H-N-W, M as in mother, A-L-L-I-N, at gmail.com.
Okay, John W. Mallon at gmail.com. If you had, in 25 seconds, what's the most important lesson we should remember about biblical counseling?
Rest in Jesus.
What a great one. You'll never forget that one. Well, we have pretty much come to the end of another visit to the Pastor's Study. And I'm so thankful that my very dear friend and fellow minister, Pastor John Mallon, has been our guest today on A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Let me give you his email address one more time. It's John, J-O-H-N-W, Mallon, M-A-L-L-I-N, at gmail.com, John W. Mallon at gmail.com. And I know I've learned so much from him as a counselor, not just Pastor John, from what you say, but from the way you listen, your careful listening, and your excellent questions, your probing questions, which are helpful questions, very much like our Lord, who had wonderful probing questions.
That's right.
Exactly. Love to get your feedback or your questions. You can email me, visit Pastor Bill. That's all one word, visit Pastor Bill at gmail.com. Remember, tomorrow is the Lord's Day. Be sure to set apart time to worship the Lord in a church that is faithful to the Word of God. And remember, too, that everyone needs a pastor. Well, we've mentioned the fact that only Jesus is the counselor who can do wonders and change people. So let's take our remaining few seconds and look to him. Our Father in heaven, we praise you that you have exalted the Lord Jesus as the Savior of his people, as the great Lord, as the one in him we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, knowing that then all these other things will be added to us. Lord, wonderful counselor, and all the needs we have, work wonderfully to the glory of your beautiful name. Amen.
You've been listening to A Visit to the Pastor's Study, a ministry of Reformation Metro New York. Our website is www.reformationmetro.org. www.reformationmetrony.org. Again, that's www.reformationmetrony.org. For more information on the program, check out our website at www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. Listen in next week at 12 noon for another edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Remember, everyone needs a pastor.